Father, we ask you today, again, just draw our heart to you. I pray right now that you would just help us to focus on you. And Lord, just help us to be people of prayer so that we're close to you at all times. Lord, that is our line of communication. So help us, Lord, to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read these verses in Matthew chapter 6, I want to give you a few verses if you just want to write them down. Probably close to 30 years ago, because I remember where I was, I read this scripture. If you want to write it down, it's in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and then I'll join you in Matthew. But Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" And the reason I brought up how long ago that was because sometimes I'll read a scripture, it doesn't matter how many times I've read it before, and maybe one truth or sometimes even a word, I don't know how to describe it other than it seemed like it just jumps out to me. And this is how I heard it or read it that day. "Lord, teach us to pray." Because I think it's easy to read it, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And I looked that up. I wanted to make sure, is that in the original language? And it's important to learn how to pray effectively. We want our prayers answered. So that's great. We want to do both. But I believe prayer, last week I shared a message on exercise yourself toward godliness. And I believe prayer is one of those spiritual exercises that we can talk about more than we do. Actually, like exercise. We can talk about exercise more than we do it, and we can talk about prayer more than we pray. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's the message this morning, just from the appeal of one of Jesus' disciples that we would also join in and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And again, we don't have to pick or choose. Let's do both. Let's commit to pray, and then let's also learn how to pray effectively. So, Lord, teach us to pray. And just if you would think about this, I want to ask you two questions, and I'm not asking for anyone to say anything. You just think about how you would answer it, okay? The first question is, what is prayer? And the second question is, what is its purpose? What is prayer, and what is its purpose? We don't have to overcomplicate this thing. We'll keep it simple. But those questions are one of the topics in this devotional. It's day 11. And so this is what we'll do. Like, we'll share a message this morning. Wednesday, we'll go into it, and I'll get your input of not just of that, but any part of that particular topic you want. But here it is real quick, all right? Let's keep it simple. Let's say I'm talking to a child. Here's a 5-year-old little child, and they want to know what prayer is. And I'm going to tell them prayer is just talking to God. Let's keep it simple. I mean, is that what it is? I mean, it's simply, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. And we don't have to necessarily change our voice or use a different. Now, there's nothing wrong with sometimes we feel it. And I've noticed myself, sometimes you get into it, I can sense the pitch of my voice start to pick up a little bit. or you start quoting scriptures and you might sound like if you learned it in, say, the King James English. Nothing wrong with that. Pray it. God understands it all. But prayer is just simply talking to God. And I'll just say this, especially, you know, as a father, and you don't have to be a parent to appreciate this, but God is a father. And he wants us in his family. And he paid a tremendous price for us to be able to be in his family. I say it like this: God loves you and he wants to hear from you. And thank God we call on him in our needs, but let's not just call on him for that. So that it's not just, I go to God when I need him to do something for me, but I don't want to spend any time with him. No, he's your father, he loves you. Go ahead and just give him some time and pray. So what is prayer? It's just simply talking to God. If you're born again, God's spirit is in you and he wants to hear from you. And here's the second question. What is the purpose of prayer? The purpose of prayer, and it's like a two-pronged, and I'll show you scriptures on it, all right? The purpose of prayer is to grow closer to God and to see his will done. To grow closer to God and to see his will done, his will accomplished. I'm telling you, if we will get this truth in us, it can help us persevere in prayer when we don't see our prayers answered, either answered as we want or how we want or when we want. Because if we think prayer is just about me and getting my will done and my timing and my way, if it doesn't happen, then I'm gonna be discouraged and I may be tempted to stop praying. I may be tempted to get mad at God. But if I understand, hey, prayer is to help me get closer to my Father, and it's also to invite his will to be done, because his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I won't take his thunder, but Sean called me Thursday, because he was with us from Newport News on Wednesday night. And have you ever prayed for a good day? Well, I won't go into all the details. I'll just say how his day started off probably wouldn't have defined it as good. But see, our definition of good and God's may not be the exact same. Because see, my definition is I want life to just go my way, everything to be smooth, all the road be clear in front of me, no conflict, no issue, no tension, that's a good day. And thank God for those days. But God says, I love you too much to let you stay as you are. I'm gonna send a little something to help you grow more like my son. And you go through a little something that helps us grow in Christ's likeness. And our Father said, that's a good day. So to grow closer to God and to see his will done. And I'm sure he'll share a testimony Wednesday about how that worked out. But the Lord opened a door for testimony and to share the gospel out of that. So we thank God for that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. He says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need of before you ask him. Or what you say, well, wait a minute, then why are we praying? He already knows. He includes us, again, closer to God and his will. If you never spoke with someone, you're probably not going to be so close. But if you share and keep that line of communication, we see wars going on in different nations around the world. One of the strategies of war is you cut off their communication. So the headquarters or the general or whomever it is can't get all the word to the troops of what to do. You cut that communication off. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably know the devil tries to keep us from prayer because he wants to keep us cut off from our Father and from a source of power that we need to have victory over him. So Lord, teach us to pray. And so prayer does not, I say it like this, I wrote it in the devotional. Prayer does not inform God of our needs. Prayer invites God into our needs. Invites him in to heal us, to strengthen us, to direct us, to correct us, whatever it may be, to love on us, to encourage us. Prayer invites God in. Jesus said, pray so that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Isn't it a joy to see the answer come and to see the prayer come to fruition? So then he goes on, he says this in verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. It doesn't mean we have to say it word for word, but this gives us topics. Jesus gave us a guide to use that we can include in our prayer. So here's the first one, our Father in heaven. Would you say that with me? Our Father in heaven. So if you're born again, prayer is based on relationship. And it's not just my Father. This guide that Jesus gave us, if we look at it, it's our. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us as we, our. So it's corporate. It's a guide for all of us together to pray, but we pray it and live it out individually. But it's not just, I'm gonna be on my own, a lone ranger with the Lord, Jesus and me, and we're good. No, we're part of a family. So if we're born again, God is our Father. His Spirit is on the inside of us, and he adopts us into his family. We have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Our Father. So prayer is based on relationship. We get into the family of God through repentance from sin and faith in Jesus as Lord. You say, well, do we need to repent? Yes. And it's not just to be saved, to become a Christian. It's to grow as a Christian. Repentance just really has the idea of turning. So I turn from my way to God's. I turn from unbelief to faith in Jesus as Lord. And when I start getting off the path as a follower of Jesus, what do I need to do? Repent. Get back in line. Repentance and faith. Then he goes on verse 9 there. It says, hallowed be your name. That means, see, God's name represents who he is. It's his character, it's his authority. We sung about his name this morning. Not just about it, we praise his name. Because ultimately what we're doing when we praise his name and honor his name is we praise him. And we honor and reverence him. Hallowed means to be regarded as holy. His name is to be reverenced and not disgraced or degraded. So holy, hallowed be your name. And again, because it represents his character and his authority. Then he says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom means his rule, his reign. I think of it this way, kingdom, king and dominion, kingdom. So his rule, his reign, and he is coming back and we're gonna see it one day. And Jesus will reign from the city of Jerusalem, and we will see the earth governed as it should be. But until that day, we're to pray for his will. This is so important because if we don't understand this, we'll see some tragedy and maybe blame God saying, well, see, God must have wanted that. Wait a minute now. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. If anyone rejects Christ and says, I'm gonna do what I want and do, all right, but that wasn't God's will. So we pray for God's will to be done so that people could come to the Lord and our lives could be changed. It's not just, okay, I'm a Christian now, see you in heaven. It's I'm a Christian right now and walk in newness of life and grow, get to know your Lord and get to know your Father and grow more like him and then be fruitful for him. I believe that's the best life going. I would rather be in God's will with whatever earthly circumstances I may have to be in and be in the family of God than to be without him with all the money, the fame, the fortune, whatever else. I don't even care. Whatever it is, I wouldn't want to miss God and eternity and forgiveness and his Holy Spirit for all of it. Lord, teach us to pray. Let me give you two verses if you want to write them down because it really fits in right here. Because I said we want to pray effectively. Here's how we can pray effectively. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence. Would you please say confidence? That we have in him, in Christ. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So how do we know God's will? You can tell me. He revealed it to us right here. God revealed himself and his will to us in his word. So this gives us truth to live by. So as I pray this word, especially as it applies to us, not every verse applies. Some of them may be for a short, like a period of time, but verses and truths that apply to us, as we pray those, seek to live it out. Let's say I'm a single man, I wanna get married. Or maybe I'm graduating from high school and I want to attend college, or I'm not sure what career to choose. But I'm doing my best to live by the truth that I do know. I'm trying to honor God in my own heart and life and relationships. Then, as I'm walking in the revealed will of God, his Spirit can guide me into the specific will of God. And that's how, I believe God's got it in my heart to pursue something in technology. I believe God's got it in my, I like working on cars. I wanna be whatever it is, whatever that may be, God has his light and his ambassadors in all kind of fields. We need them everywhere. We need believers in government. How many know we need believers in, no. We do. We need educators. We need in military. We need every area of life. And not just to be in name, but to be followers of Jesus, to live it out, to shine brightly in a very dark world. Lord, teach us to pray. But you see how important it is? We're inviting God's will in. We're staying in tune with him. So your kingdom come and your will be done. Then he says this in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So God is our ultimate source and provider of, and that's not just daily, like physical bread. He is our source. You say, but I make my own money. I have a job and I get that and I thank God for it. But without that job, would you still have a source of daily bread? So give us this day our daily bread. He's the ultimate. I like to say, how you say, he's our source and something else may be a resource. So he's our source, and it's not just physical, it includes that, but what about emotional needs? What about relational needs? What about spiritual needs? What about physical needs, financial needs? He can meet them all, and he wants us to look to him first and then guide us into the meeting of those needs, because he can meet all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's got an unlimited supply. As a father, I have limited supply, and I still try to provide, even though I thank God Brittany's grown young woman. She's, you know, takes care of herself, but I want to bless her if I can. And there's sometimes we'll go and just, we'll spend a little extra on a meal or do what, you know, so we don't expect her to do that necessarily if we're there. But I'm just a human, flawed father, but I still want to be a blessing to a daughter. You have a perfect father in heaven, and he can meet every need according to his riches and glory. Let's seek him for those needs. And then verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I was doing good. So first of all, forgive us when we sin, not if. Brothers and sisters, when we sin, let's be quick to repent and receive God's forgiveness. That's repentance and faith. Because whatever the sin is or was, Jesus suffered and died on the cross and shed his life's blood to wash that sin clean. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins so that we can stand before a holy God and bring him our requests, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It accomplishes much, and we have no righteousness outside of Christ. He alone is our righteousness. So forgive me, forgive us as we forgive. And goes on in that couple of verses later, and it talks about how we can block the flow of God's forgiveness to us by holding unforgiveness towards someone else. Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not excusing wrong or sin or even doing away with consequences. Someone may break man's law and they could be forgiven, but they may still have to face some consequences for their actions. So it's not that. What forgiveness is that because Jesus suffered and died on the cross to freely and completely forgive me, he calls me to forgive someone else based on my forgiveness from him. Forgive us as we forgive. It's a choice we make by faith in God. It is not a feeling. Amen. The Lord knows. Emotions take time to heal. But if we have to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving, it promotes the healing and it keeps us close. Let's not allow it. I've struggled with it. I'm not gonna deny it. But let's not allow ourselves to cut off that link in communication to our Father because we just harbor it and hold on to it and kind of nurse it. He says, forgive us our debts. It's like forgiveness is basically saying, you offended me, you owe me, but I'm gonna release that debt because I've been so freely forgiven when I was owed or when I owed what I couldn't pay. Colossians 3:13, if you wanna write it down, and then I'll just give you three more references and we're done. Colossians 3:13, I'm gonna read it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You're loved today. And just because you're hurting maybe doesn't mean God doesn't care or that others don't care. This is just the path to healing. That's all. And God wants us well. He wants us free. He doesn't want us bound by unforgiveness and resentment. Again, it's by faith, not by feeling. Would you say that with me? It's by faith, not by feeling. And then he goes on, he says this in verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So God does not tempt us to sin. Test our faith, yes. He does not tempt us to sin, but we're all tempted. And just even studying this again brought this to my mind. I want this to be my kind of a default. So here I am, I'm tempted to sin. So he says, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from this evil one. And so when I'm tempted, I want my almost like automatic response to be, I'm crawling on you, Father, for deliverance. Deliver me from this temptation. I can't do this on my own. Help me. Deliver us from temptation. And I believe God will do it because he says, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. God has the power to deliver us from any temptation and all temptation. And if he does it, who's going to get the glory? He'll get all the glory. So I picture it almost like, here's the temptation, here's the tempter, and here's my own flesh wanting to sin. So I'm a child of God, a son of God, and here's the temptation, but I've got a big father. I had my dad step in one time in a situation when a guy wanted to fight me. I guess he was wanting to fight. He didn't make it that far. He said, this kid said, to my dad. See, my dad was old school. I'm not advertising this. I'm not promoting it. He said to my dad, you can't touch me. And my dad went over to him and got him up to about eye level and just simply said, don't tell me what I can't do. He never bothered me again. I don't know what. You got a big father. He can help in the temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Let me give you these three references if you want to write them down and we're done. Just how we pray. The Bible mentions three different ways. Number one, first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It just simply says, pray without ceasing. One translation says, make your life a prayer. I like that. Make your life a prayer. In other words, does that mean we're talking all the time, talking? No. Sometimes it means just being quiet. But it means you've got the line open. Somebody comes to me with a need, I can pray just like that. I have a need. I can pray just like that. The line is always open. I'm not letting anything guard come between God's heart and mine. So pray without ceasing. That's lifestyle. Then in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, let me read this to you. Mark 1:35, the Bible says, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus had all kinds of demands and so forth of him. Crowds followed him everywhere he went. But if the sinless Son of God had a little undistracted time of fellowship with his Father, don't we need that time? It's not just, I'm a lifestyle, I pray about anything throughout the day. That's great. But I just believe there is something that tunes us in to God when we give him a little undistracted time. And I know, Lord knows, there's so many distractions. But however you can work that out in your own life, I just pray that I want to encourage you to do it. And then along that line, Psalm 62:8 says this. I love this part of this psalm. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a safe place. And pour out your heart. I will confess this to you. Over the years, and even recently, I caught myself praying. And I'd go through my list. I pray the requests, but I'm not unburdened. And this is an opportunity when we pray that I can pour out my heart. I don't need to carry this worry. I don't need to carry this concern. I don't need to carry this anxiety. I don't need to carry this unforgiveness, this anger, whatever it is. I don't need to carry this regret because I trust him and I pour my heart out to him so that I get up from that prayer time and I'm going about my day and I'm ready to follow Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And then the last one, Acts chapter 4. I'll just give you the references. I'm not going to look it up. I'll tell you what it says. Acts 4, 23 through 31. Some of the apostles were arrested and beaten, and they threatened them. You don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And I love how it's worded here. It says, I want to be one of the apostles. They've beaten me, threatened me. And it says they went to their own. It says companions, but that word's not in the original language. They went to their own. It would be like coming, when the world beats you down, don't you just need to come to your own sometime? And this is what they did. It says they came into unity of prayer. So there is a lifestyle of prayer. There is my own personal prayer, but there is also a place for together prayer. Corporate, there's power in that. And when we come together, this is what they did. It says they lifted up their voice in one accord and they prayed God's word. Lord, you made heaven. You made earth. You created us. You called us and told us what to do. And Lord, they're threatening. You know about it. So now we're praying and we're asking you, this is our request. We're asking you not to shut us up. We're asking you to stand us up. We're asking you to give us grace and strength so that when they say, don't speak in the name of Jesus, help us to keep doing it. And while we do it, would you go ahead and work some miracles and signs and wonders in the name of Jesus so that you get the glory and your kingdom come and your will is done. And the Bible says the place where they prayed was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke God's word boldly. Lord, teach us to pray. All right, I'm gonna close with this. Jerry Falwell used to say, nothing of eternal significance is accomplished apart from prayer. You want your life to count for eternity? Brothers and sisters, pray. Let's pray. Let's call on the Lord. And I wanna do this before we close. If you're there, in fact, we may have different translations. Can we put up what we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6? And beginning in verse 9, and let's just make this our prayer. We're gonna pray this together, all right? I'm gonna come out there and I can see it with you and see how it may change. But, so we wanna pray, and we wanna pray effectively. God's will, to grow more like him, get closer to him. So we feel like, just be encouraged. I've been praying. I know, don't give up. That's why the Lord said, don't quit. He said, men are always to pray. Keep praying. Persevere. Are you getting closer to your Father? All right, that's good. Are you praying for his will to be done? We let our requests be made known, but can you trust him enough to submit your will to his? All right, so ready in this manner, therefore, pray. Let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to ask you this before we pray and we'll have a little worship song. Will you make prayer to your Father a top priority in your life? I know we're all busy and scheduled, but will you do it? Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. If we live in that life of prayer, we're going to reap the blessings of prayer. There's going to be fellowship. There's going to be fruitfulness. There's going to be direction. There's going to be guidance. There's going to be grace. There's going to be strength. We get to receive all those blessings if we just keep the line of communication open and not just talk about it. Lord, teach us to pray. We have several people that need prayer here in the church family or family members. So we're going to go to the Lord. In fact, can we just do that right now? But I want to ask you first, let's make sure there's nothing between God's heart and ours. So I want to ask, maybe today you've kind of just gotten away from fellowship with the Lord. Maybe you aren't sure if God really is your Father, Jesus is your Lord or not. He can be right now, to just be willing to turn, to call on him to forgive your sin. He loved you and died on the cross to pay for every sin. He conquered death 3 days later, and he's alive right now. If you call on him to save you, he will. He'll be your Lord. He'll send his Spirit to live inside your heart to help you live for him every day. And you stay close to him too. Maybe someone here today, you really struggle with some, maybe releasing forgiveness to someone. And you're hurting. I get that. I'm not making light of it. I'm just simply saying, will you trust a Father who loved you so much? He was willing to really sacrifice his own son to forgive you. And you could be in his family. Would you trust him enough to release it today and have nothing hindering your fellowship with him? If that's the case, would you do it? Would you tell him, pour your heart out to him? So, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I don't want it anymore. Help me. I'm trusting you. I won't be the one to take vengeance. That's yours. I'll release it. Help me. Heal me. And Father, we pray for those today who, like Doc, Jean, not feeling well today, her back. Lord, for those who, Mike and Libby, as they've gone to be with Mike's sister on hospice. I thank you, Lord, nothing's too hard for you. So we come before you today. Lord, I ask, help us to be a people of prayer, and not just prayer, help us to be a people of prayer and faith in you, that we'll trust you to do great and mighty things for your own purpose and glory. May you bring healing to those who need healing in their hearts, healing in relationships, maybe a sense of a new beginning. I really sense that. Lord, I pray that whoever that is right now, that you're just drawing them. Thank you. You're the God of new beginnings. May you heal hurting bodies, sick bodies today. May you touch and restore soundness of mind in the name of Jesus. Bring someone home who's wandered away. Help them to know you haven't forgiven up on them. Draw them to themselves. And we just want to unite in prayer right now to call on your name for your will to be done. Come and fill our hearts today and give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.